This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. It's very recent that American Network Television got its first solo female anchor of an evening news broadcast. Here she is.
Hi, everyone. We begin with the worst kind of news. American forces.
Katie Couric took over at CBS last month. That breakthrough came 46 years after CBS hired its first female TV reporter.
She was Nancy Dickerson. She later went on to work for NBC. Her youngest son, John Dickerson, is chief political correspondent for the online magazine Slate and a regular guest on this program.
Nancy Dickerson died 9 years ago. After that, John began working on a book about her, a woman he didn't know very well. To mark the book's publication, John prepared this report about what he learned when he dug through his mother's old papers and tapes. Among other things, he learned that President Johnson would take her calls.
Nancy Dickerson's on 92 asking for 2 minutes of your time.
I'd never heard my mother sound nervous until 2 years after she died.
The next time I need a new swimming suit, I'm going to consult you.
What is it?
The next time I need a new swimming suit, I'm going to consult you.
How are you doing, honey?
Fine, thank you.
I was sitting in the LBJ Presidential Library listening to a scratchy recording of Mom pitching President Johnson some stories she wanted to do for NBC.
Listen, what do you think of Linda Bird and Wary Lynn going on the Today Show with me just talking about life in Washington?
I think it'd be all right. I don't have any objections.
You don't?
No.
I'm going on for the first time on the Today Show, and I thought it'd be great fun if they could just sit there and talk about how they like living here.
Yeah, I think it'd be all right.
It was the start of a journey to find my mother, a journalist, whom America knew long before I did.
Nancy Dickerson, NBC News, New York. Good night.
Before Katie Couric, before Diane Sawyer or Barbara Walters, there was my mom, Nancy Dickerson, chatting with Walter Cronkite about Lyndon Johnson's campaign in 1960.
He started out sort of like a lamb. He was rather mild. And the last time I saw him, he was a real tiger on the campaign trail. You just couldn't stop him.
Doesn't he need any extra rest because of the heart attack some years ago, Nancy?
Well, you would think so.
And reporting from Andrews Air Force Base, her voice cracking as John Kennedy's body returned from Dallas.
Behind the casket is Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy. To her right is her brother-in-law, the Attorney General, Robert Kennedy. They are helping her down out of that carrier that has just brought down the casket.
The day before I was born, in 1968, my mother followed her usual routine. She visited the hairdresser and anchored her morning newscast.
This is Nancy Dickerson in Washington.
The next day, she went into labor, and I was born, to the great surprise of her viewers. The network brass already doubted that a woman had enough authority to present the news, but a pregnant woman? Forget it. They filmed Mom in such a way that no one knew she was with child. But viewers liked her. And Nancy Dickerson became a journalistic star, influencing not only a generation of young women, but at least one young man as well. Here she is at a news conference with President Nixon.
Ms. Dickerson.
Mr. President, getting back to the polarization question, your administration has been charged with the failure to reach the young people, both those who protest and march and those who don't.
3 decades later, I found myself in the same room, asking questions of a different president.
You've looked back before 9/11 for what mistakes might have been made. After 9/11, what would your biggest mistake be, would you say, and what lessons have you learned from it?
I wish you'd have given me this written question ahead of time so I could plan for it.
It wasn't certain that I would follow my mother into journalism. We had a rocky relationship during my adolescence. When my parents divorced, I left her and moved in with my father. Mom and I later reconciled and became pals for a few years before she had a severe stroke. After her funeral, I received 20 boxes of material from her life, journals, newspaper clippings, and even some old thin reel-to-reel tapes of reports in which Mom was still using her maiden name.
This is Nancy Honchman again in Paris with your man in Paris, CBS News correspondent David Schoenbrunn.
I'd been born after her career was largely over, and I'd never seen or cared to ask about most of this material. But in those boxes, I discovered a woman I never knew. You can't really understand how hard it was for her to break into the all-male world of broadcasting until you listen to an interview she did with CBS colleague David Schoenbrunn. The tape is from September 1961, and CBS had just named Mom their first woman television correspondent. She faced rampant sexism, but as a pioneer, she just had to accept it. Mom idolized Schoenbrunn and wanted to be just like him. Yet listen to the dismissive way the Paris correspondent describes the proper role for women.
In France, the women are really not pretty women, but they're exciting women. And they walk as though they were beautiful. They act as though they were beautiful. And they, above all, I think, are happy to be women. They don't want to run things. They don't believe in equality of the sexes. They believe that the sexes are unequal, as indeed they are. They would argue for equality of rights, that women have the same rights as men. But certainly they're not equal. They're different. And as we say in France, vive la différence.
I was just going to quote that.
I'd never heard these recordings while Mom was alive. Even her voice seemed unfamiliar, especially in this whimsical piece about the theft of a Goya painting in Britain.
Bought by the British government, it was grandly displayed in their national gallery until it was stolen right out from everyone's collective nose.
Why does she have that sugar coating in her voice, I wondered.
It intrigued me that such a theft could occur, and I had a morbid fascination to see just where the picture used to hang. I asked an American businessman, Mr. C. Wyatt Dickerson, to go with me. Since he's also an art expert, he raised some objection to an excursion, the purpose of which was to visit an art gallery to see where a picture no longer was.
She's flirting on the air with the man who would become my father.
And just that quick, the guard was gone, which caused Mr. Dickerson to comment, well, now they've stolen him, too. Not getting anywhere.
That radio piece is from the fall of 1961. Now, almost exactly 45 years later, I sit here taping another radio story, a tribute to the woman I rediscovered while writing my book. Appropriately, this week is also the 9th anniversary of her death.
On leaving the British National Gallery, I asked Mr. Dickerson if he had ever been tempted to steal any paintings, just to get away with it, you understand. He rather disdainfully said no, but he did admit he had been tempted to straighten quite a few. And I must say,
John Dickerson is chief political correspondent for the online magazine Slate and a regular guest here on Day to Day. His new book is called On Her Trail, and that report was produced by Andy Bowers.
History Online. You can hear one of President Johnson's secretly taped conversations with Nancy Dickerson and read an excerpt from On Her Trail at npr.org.